is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome to the show today. As always, it is such a joy to have you with us as we open the Word of God and study it together. Today we're going to continue our series on the story of Noah, picking up where we left off in Genesis chapter 7. And so if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me to Genesis chapter 7. And it's very interesting. I was hearing this week that probably the last completely accurate weather forecast was when God told Noah there was 100% chance of precipitation. I think that's so true. And what is amazing to me is that Noah doesn't doubt. He obeys God. Now, in our story today, we find that the ark is finally finished, and kind of like the abolition of foot binding in China, we know it was no small feat. Okay, I'm sorry for that. But the ark has finally been completed, and Noah and his family, they get on board that ark, and all the animals, they come, and they're placed onto that ark, each and every one in their own appropriate place. And after this, Noah and his family, they wait for 7 days for the flood to begin. Now, just imagine yourself there. What would it be like after that door shuts? What was that first week like as you had, think about it. Here was a family. They're bunkered up. They're waiting for the end of the world as they know it. Every person they have ever known, every town, every village, every city. Everything was about to be wiped away. You know, someone once pointed out that at no other point in history has God's judgment on the earth been as severe and widespread as it was at the flood. At various times, he said, God has judged individuals, groups, even whole nations. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed when God rained fire and brimstone on them. God ordered Israel to destroy the Canaanites because of their sin. Israel itself, you'll remember, especially in our study of the book of Daniel, they were judged by the Babylonian captivity. Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70 because they had rejected their Messiah. And there are so many more examples in the scripture. But no other judgment in history was as widespread and severe as that of the flood. And as such, the flood stands as the past example, bar none, of the fact of God's judgment on the whole earth. Just as he judged the whole earth with a flood, so he will judge the whole earth in the end time. And none will escape. And that assessment is accurate. You know, I don't know if you've ever had the chance to go and visit the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. My family and I, we've been a number of times, and it is absolutely incredible to see this full-scale, life-size Ark built in proportion to the Ark we read about in Scripture. I mean, it's incredible, breathtaking, really. And when you come on board this ark, you find a scene of a family gathering in waiting for the flood. And there's a sign by that scene. And it reads, in contrast to the popular, overly cute ark and flood images, the ark encounter immediately sets the somber, realistic tone of a family about to endure the greatest trial of their lives. See Noah gather his family for prayer when the rain started pounding outside the ark. Here was a family about to face the greatest crisis of their lives. And you know, there are times that you and I also face difficult circumstances. And you and I, we may wonder whether or not God is going to bring us through. I'm sure some of you have heard of Adoniram Judson, the famous American missionary to Burma. He wrote, "Come, Holy Spirit, Dove Divine," and many other hymns. But when Dr. H. C. Trumbull was a small boy, he and some other boys hung around the dock for the unusual experience of seeing a real, live missionary from the other side of the world, the famous Adoniram Judson. And suddenly, the boys' eager eyes fell upon a face in the crowd that thrilled them. They at once knew it to be the great missionary, because his face had a light, a glow that they had never seen on any other face. Every line of those features seemed transformed from within. It must have been kind of like seeing Moses and his transformed face following his meeting with God. Such are those who live in the presence of God and walk by faith in Him. They radiate with the glory of God. And they have manifest in their lives this incredible hope that flows directly from God, because it's His hope. They're filled with love. They're filled with confidence, even in the darkest of circumstances. You know, at one time over in Burma, Judson was lying in a foul jail with 32 pounds of chains on his ankles. And his feet were bound to a bamboo pole. And a fellow prisoner said, "Dr. Judson, what about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen?" with a sneer on his face. And Judson's instant reply was, "The prospects are just as bright as the promises of God." You see, God never abandons those who walk with Him. It has never happened, and it will never happen. God will abide with those who fear Him and choose to follow Him. Now, after these 7 days, the rain begins to fall and the flood waters begin to rise. And it says, starting in verse 7, "And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and of all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark, as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the flood waters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his 3 sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings. Pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in." Now, what does it mean that the Lord shut them in? Well, first, it means that God has placed His seal of protection on the ark. Nothing was going to touch them. I mean, you and I, we joke about how Noah had to worry more about the woodpeckers inside the ark than about the storms on the outside. But the truth is, Noah had nothing to fear, because God's seal was upon them. And nothing, not the highest wave, not the strongest bolt of lightning, nothing was going to sink that ship. And you know, the same is true in your life and in my life as well. We can have assurance when God calls us that as we remain obedient to Him, He will be our shield and our fortress. And what I want to highlight for you today is that it wasn't the ark that saved Noah and his family. It was the presence of God and God alone that saved them. I like what Jonah said to God when he found himself in another similar ark, except this ark had a heartbeat and probably smelled even worse than Noah's ark. Jonah says, "But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord." And of course, his salvation did come from the Lord. Now, another thing I want you to notice here is that while some translate God's instruction to Noah to enter the ark as a command to go, I like the way the King James translates it much better. Rather than go, God says, come into the ark. And the Hebrew word is actually that, come into the ark, implying that God is waiting for Noah in that ark. God is going to be with Noah and his family, and they are invited to join him there. I think that's amazing. And we can hear in his invitation to Noah to come into the ark anticipations of the invitation which Jesus himself would later extend unto all men. "Come unto me," he said, "all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If any man thirst, let him come unto me." That is always the word that Jesus uses, come unto me. The answers to all the vexing problems of life, they find the beginning of their solution at that place, coming unto Jesus. Christ is our ark. He is the one who carries us through whatever judgments, whatever floods, whatever catastrophes await us, both now and in the age to come. That is the whole teaching that we find here in this chapter. Now look at verse 17. It says, "For 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth. And as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth. And the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out, people and animals, and the creatures that move along the ground, and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. Now, some try to argue that this was a local, not a worldwide, flood. And so they take the position that it was confined to the Tigris-Euphrates Valley. In other words, it was just kind of a big swimming pool. That's about it. But when we take a closer look at the words of Scripture, we find that the language that's used to describe this flood leaves no room for a mere local flood. For one thing, the language of the text could not be stronger in describing a flood of universal proportions. While the words all and every are sometimes used in a relative sense in the Bible, Genesis 7 uses deliberately very strong, very repetitive language to describe the extent of the flood. In verses 2 and 3, God says that Noah must take some of every kind of animal to keep offspring alive on the face of all the earth. Now, that wouldn't be necessary if the flood were only a local flood. In verse 4, God tells Noah that he is about to blot out every living thing that he has made. Now, why have Noah go to all the bother of building an ark of this size if the flood was just local? I mean, the animals could just as easily have fled the area along with Noah and his family and then returned later. You know, I like what J. Vernon McGee says on this. He says, "You are on the horns of a dilemma. As I see it, you either have to accept the word of God or you have to reject what it says. To my judgment," he says, "to attempt to make a case for a local flood is actually, in the long run, to reject the word of God. The Bible makes it clear that it was a universal flood, and every living substance was destroyed, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." Now, as we said before, the flood is a foreshadowing of judgment to come. And things nowadays also look, really bleak. And sometimes it seems so bad that we expect God's judgment to be just around the corner. And indeed, I think it probably is. But you know, I was listening just recently to my uncle Bill Urey's radio show, The Hour of Holiness. And in it, he was remarking how central hope is to the Christian life. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." And he said that hope is the connective tissue between faith and love. And then he said this, he says, "We live in a culture that is void of hope. Even Christians can be overwhelmed at times with the incredible grief that is in the world. And we can forget that faith and trust in a God who has shut us in, who has provided a means of salvation, who has promised to remain with us in every trial and circumstance. Everyone who abides in him can have his love, his hope, and his peace, but you have to have faith and trust in God." You know, Tim Hansel once wrote, saying, "One day, while my son Zach and I were out in the country, climbing around on some hills, I heard a voice from above yell, 'Hey, Dad, catch me!' He says, I turned around to see Zach joyfully jumping off a rock straight at me. He had jumped and then yelled, 'Hey, Dad.' He says, I became an instant circus act, just trying to catch him. And finally, we both fell to the ground, and for a moment afterwards, I could hardly breathe. And when I found my voice, I gasped in exasperation, 'Zach, can you give me one good reason why you did that?' And he responded with remarkable calmness, 'Sure, because you're my dad.' His whole assurance was based in the fact that his father was trustworthy. He could live life to the hilt because his father could be trusted." Isn't this even more true for a Christian? You know, today I want to challenge you with this question. What is the limit of your faith and your trust in God? How often do you give in to despair? The point of this passage is that God is a shield for those who choose to come and remain with him. What about you? God says the word "come" a lot in Scripture. He wants us to respond to him. Noah was saved from the coming judgment by coming into the ark. And you and I, we also can be saved from the coming judgment by coming to Jesus Christ and believing in him. And so I invite you today, come under his authority. Trust him today, and let that trust and that faith produce in you hope. and let that hope bear fruit in love. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.